from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
One other player that I think can swing things quite a bit, if you consider that on the left side of your line, you might be starting a rookie in Kingsley or a second-year guy in Wanya Morris, who's only played in four games. Well, then you want stability on the right side. And we know Juwan Taylor has spoken about the adjustments he's made in the offseason. We all know he kind of had this target on his back the first month plus of the season.
Yes.
And it was a mess. It really was. But then we didn't really talk about him, which is a good thing if you're a right tackle in the NFL. We didn't talk about him much from about week 12 on. You really didn't notice him. That's what it's supposed to be. Just solid play, not getting called for holding, not lining up wrong, all that kind of stuff. And so when you look at Juwan Taylor, how confident are you that that is fixed, basically? Because if he can,
or that he can be like league average, is that pretty much what I'm asking? Like the 15th best right tackle?
Because if he can elevate his game into where we're not like beginning, like he has a full offseason, he could be even more. I think he has a chance he could be more effective because he was asked to make an adjustment midseason. I imagine that's very difficult to do as a right tackle. Midseason,
when you spent your entire career playing a certain way?
Exactly. Now you have the offseason. Change the way you need to play to line up properly and not jump early and all that kind of stuff. So you would think that should allow him to just go out and be more of the force that he is versus worrying about the other stuff. So I think there is a leap potentially here for Juwan. They need to, especially since his contract for next year already became guaranteed essentially on March of this year. So he's not leaving next year either. So they need this to happen. And if you can get stability at right tackle, then it allows you maybe a little bit more of the learning curve and the growing pains that could exist with Kingsley or even Wanya.
And likely will, if we're being honest. Look, I'm probably like, if you made me do it on a 1 to 10 scale, I'm probably like a 6, which is probably better than I was about week 5 last year when it seemed like the point of emphasis was to get Juwan Taylor. Here's why I'm tempted to be a little bit higher than that, I'll tell you, is that typically in these league circles, the point of emphasis stuff, year to year, that was the point of emphasis last year because Chris Collinsworth made it so. And the league sent out these videos essentially just showing you what Juwan Taylor was doing wrong. And so he got picked on for the better half of a season. And they picked on other players in the league, not just him, who were doing the same thing. And it became a point of emphasis. They'll just decide something else this year. It'll be like the way people hand check at the line or pressing off of the line or holding in certain situations. So just as long as they're not like as focused on it, I'd buy me be closer to a 7. He is an okay right tackle. I don't think he's a world beater. I mean, I've gotten a pretty good look at Juwan Taylor at this point, and if you look at the metrics or the stats coming out of Jacksonville, he wasn't a world beater there either. But I think he is a capable or more than capable right tackle, especially with Patrick Mahomes. So confident that he could be that? Maybe an 8 or 9. Confident that all of his issues are behind him? 6 or 7, probably depending on my mood that day. But I don't think he's going to be a complete liability. There were times last year he had kind of become that, right?
Oh, no question. I mean, the first month plus of the season, he was. Because
he's the most penalized player in the league, or at least at the offensive line.
He was. And so, yeah, there was definitely the liability of having him out there at one point. But that was not the case. Again, we really didn't talk about him, man, in the playoffs. Did we mention him once? I honestly don't remember. Do we have a conversation during the playoff run while we were in Vegas for Radio Row Week? Did we mention Jawan Taylor's name?
No.
And that's a good thing, by the way. That's a good thing. You don't want to be mentioning anybody on the offensive line.
Maybe a little bit, because we're talking about how good that defensive line is for the 49ers. But I think it was more like a unit, not him specifically.
But yeah. Not in terms of how he had been performing or anything like that. Heck, we talked about Creed Humphrey more during the playoffs because the snapping became an issue.
Yeah. And that was an issue for the second half of the season. And look, I think if you're asking, and because that's funny, because it's like, how confident are you those issues behind Creed Humphrey? I was like, I don't know, 9? Like, he spent, because it's the opposite of the Jawan Taylor thing. They really were asking Jawan Taylor to play a different style of tackle than he had played at any point in his career. All I'm asking Creed Humphrey to do is what he's done the other 1,000-plus games he's played in football. In college or high school or the pros, like, he snapped the ball successfully for years and then got the yips, is what I'm convinced took place there. And I honestly think that's part of what happened with Jawan Taylor. I think it got so in his head, it was being exacerbated because of that.
Yeah, I was looking just for Taylor. So he did not have a penalty in the Super Bowl, from what I can see. He had one penalty against Baltimore. He had one penalty, illegal use of hands against Buffalo divisional round. He had two in the wild card round, illegal block and a false start. There was
one of those was, I can't remember which one of those games. Now I can't even remember. But if one of those was bogus. The block in the back, I think, or whatever, was a bogus one.
If you compare, though, early in the year, so in September, so the opener against Detroit, he had the one false start, and then they highlighted it, right? And then in week two, he had the one false start against Jacksonville. He had the illegal formation against Jacksonville. He had the holding against Jacksonville. He had the holding against Jacksonville. He had the false start against Jacksonville. He had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 penalties. Remember, they pulled him out for a drive because he was so frustrated. They pulled him out for a drive.
I remember. People
didn't like when I said he got benched. They pulled him out, got benched, whatever phrase you want to use. He was not playing for a drive.
Which is uncommon because he normally plays every drive.
It wasn't until there was a gap from October 12th to November 20th where he didn't have a penalty. It was that's when he cleaned stuff up. And there was a bye in there as well. So about a 3-week stretch where he kind of cleaned stuff up, and then he was a different player.
Yes. After that moment, and of course the bye probably helps, he was still a penalized player because I'll tell you this. He's just not a perfect tackle. He sometimes holds. He sometimes does it because he is not a perfect right tackle. But I've told you this before. I think Patrick Mahomes can help cover some of those things up for you. And if you're Jawan Taylor, you'll probably learn that. Orlando Brown Jr., when he left town, he got asked a little bit about Patrick Mahomes and what it was like to block for him. And he openly admitted what I am saying, which is he makes you look better. Patrick Mahomes will cover up some of the times you got beat. And so if you're Jawan Taylor, sometimes if you think you're going to get beat, you can still just get beat rather than take the penalty because Mahomes might cover up that mistake for you. Not every time, but there's a little more flexibility in there than you're willing to admit.
It seems like a lot. I know we just talked about General MacArthur. There's a lot. It seemed like there were a lot of conversations around that with offensive linemen as well. Everybody was talking about it when he was messing up. He wasn't, and nobody was talking about him. And then the one time when he would come up during the playoffs, whatever it was, hey, well, Jawan Taylor's been having struggles all year long. Like, it came up again as, and maybe not from Chiefs fans necessarily, but from, like, broadcasters. It was, well, he did have that one game early on in the year and had the yips, and it's been a constant thing all year with his alignment when it really hasn't. It hadn't been all year long.
Yeah, I think he's going to be better. I mean, this we can mention what he was in Jacksonville, and that was what was frustrating last year when the target was on his back early. So he had 20 penalties last year in Kansas City. The year before in Jacksonville, he only had 6 penalties. He had 6. He had 11 in 2021 and 6 in 2020. So it's not like he was having 15, 20 penalties a year. He had 6 penalties the year before he came to Kansas City.
Yeah.
So that's why I think there is definitely room and he will have a much better season. And that should hopefully help the growing pains that likely are going to exist on the left side, no matter who the starter is.
Why did that even become an issue anyways? Is it just because he was on the Chiefs and his alignment was...
It was a Sunday Night Football broadcast.
Chris Collinsworth. Thursday night opener against Detroit kept highlighting over and over how he was lining up improperly or doing, you know, he was jumping back quick or whatever it was, you know, so whatever. Yes. And that's why I said in week two, what did I say? Week two or three, that Jacksonville game, he had five penalties and they had to pull him out of the game because he got so frustrated about it.
But is that seemed to be he's on the Chiefs team because as you just said, we looked back and he's been doing that his whole career.
Trent Williams does it. Right now, right, like actively does it.
It was a he's on the Chiefs thing. That's why it got blown up.
He's on the Chiefs, and Collins were like pointed out.
It was a standalone game for the first game.
Same thing's going to happen this year. They're going to be on the standalone Thursday night game against Baltimore, and we'll see if Chris Collinsworth points something else out that all of a sudden becomes a problem. Hopefully not.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.